Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, EdTech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Jeff Bradbury Show, a podcast that's all about helping you amplify your impact in the world. My name is Jeff Bradbury, and on today's show, we bring on a very special guest, an entrepreneur who is making a difference in the world around her. So much, in fact, that she is not only redefining her brand category, but doing so with an amazing amount of integrity. This is the first time you're listening to the show today. Head on over to jeffreybradbury.com. Check out all of our episodes. And if you're looking to be featured on a show, you can head on over to our contact form. We would love to hear from you and hear how you guys are making an impact on the world around you. If this is the first time you're checking out our episode, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. You can, of course, find us over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you guys get your podcasts. Thank you guys for being here on today's episode. I'm glad you're here. My guest today is the founder and CEO of a fantastic company called Zdip, a sustainable hair care brand that defines traditional industry norms. She's also been featured on Allure and Cosmopolitan magazine, and in 2020, she was named a Woman of Courage by Insignium Quarterly. In 2024, she was also named New Jersey's Mompreneur of the Year by New Jersey Family Magazine. And if that isn't enough, she is here today to build her legacy through integrity, something that I absolutely adore and we're going to talk a lot about today. It is my pleasure to bring on Miss Kate Esseroff. Kate, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. And also thanks for the very warm intro. I sound a lot cooler when you say it.
I am so thrilled to have you on. I've been checking out a lot of the stuff you do. We're going to get into all of that stuff, but let's just kind of do who is Kate? You've got the entrepreneur thing going on. You got the mompreneur world. When you meet somebody, introduce yourself to us today.
Sure. Hi, my name is Kate, and I have a hair care line, and it's plastic free. It's really plastic. It's very serious hair care for not so serious people that just happens to be plastic free. And it was really born out of my frustration with sustainability, not really feeling like it was for everyone. It really felt like it was for a very serious group of people that took everything very seriously. And what I really wanted to do was create really great hair care where the plastic free part wasn't even part of the story.
I love the story about your goals to make an impact in the hair care product. And I think one of the things that's interesting about your story is you didn't just do this once, correct? No. You did this twice. First of all, what got you involved in building a business? Why did you select hair care? And what was it like the first time you started to put all this together?
So there's a few things, right? So this is my second rodeo, but it's a long-term passion project for me. I really discovered when I was pregnant with my first son, 2014, the horrors of plastic, not only the way it was like accumulating on the planet, but also how it was affecting human health. So all the studies that are coming out now and becoming mainstream about plastic accumulating in our tissues and our organs, like that's been known for a long time. And you know, I kind of discovered that you can't really get people to reduce plastic or long term if you don't really give them something good. You can't force them into caring about the plastic crisis, even if all the science is out there that it's you know, has adverse health effects if you keep exposing yourself to it. So I thought, you know, what the problem is out there is that like it's all of the plastic free substitutes feel like they're made for someone not living a normal life. Like I don't mean normal. It's just being like, you know, we're all kind of creatures of convenience and we're all kind of settled into our routines. And I find that a lot of the swaps out there are just so inconvenient or expensive, or they just don't really inspire change, or they kind of, the marketing for them kind of like nags you into it instead of really just giving you something that's like fun, and cool and effective and saves you money. And so I knew I could do that. And that's really how Dip was born.
Now, when you're saying plastic, and I am not going to be here thinking that I am an expert in this, you're talking about the way that it's packaged. You're talking about the way it's produced. You're talking about the ingredients. I mean,
all of it. All of it. So, you know, whether plastic is lying around outside and, you know, endocrine disruptors seep out of the plastic packaging when it's in the sun and go into the water stream, which is a scary thought, or whether it's, you know, someone microwaving their leftovers and, you know, the plastic, really their toxins are go into your food and then you're eating them, or whether it's as simple as like the livestock you're eating, like they've been just fed stuff in like the feed plus the bag and they're just eating that. And then the plastic goes through your digestive tract and then you're eating it. Like there's so many different ways that plastic enters our body, even, you know, topically. So it's scary. It's trying to take, I don't want to scare people, but it is a reality of kind of the convenience culture and the packaging that is out there right now.
And so how did you come up with this concept? And when you said, I want to change the world, this is where I want to go. What was that first step? How does a mom suddenly get into, I don't know what I'm saying here, chemistry, science, products together, like all those different things?
Yeah, totally. So it wasn't sudden for me because I'd been in the beauty industry for a long time. So I have been in beauty marketing. I've been in product development. So I kind of had all the toolkit. All, you know, my quiver, right? I was able to pull out the right arrows to make this happen. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to shake up sustainability because I feel like sustainability left a lot of people out of the conversation. So, you know, this was like the problem I really wanted to solve is, you know, that feeling when you buy something to try and do better for the earth and it just ends up making you angrier. You know, like that's like a very universal, everyone knows they've bought like the expensive, you know, eco deodorant that doesn't work, or they've bought, you know, the beeswax wraps that just fall off the bolt. Like everyone knows that feeling. And so what I wanted to do is make this like hair care so good that you were just like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, this works. I wanted to be shock and awe when it did what it said it was going to do. But the other piece of it was, you know, you shower, you know, hopefully a few times a month, at least. Like for me, it's every day because I run, but I wanted to make sure that like, this was just a gentle nudge or reminder of like being going plastic free and why you're doing it. That was convenient and just kind of in the back of your brain instead of something that was like in your face all the time.
But one of the things that I love about your story is you made your first business grow. I want to say this right. No paid ads, no influencers, no how did all that work? How did you succeed the first time out?
With Dip, I think really tapping into what people care about. People like, you know, for me anyway, and you're from New Jersey, I'm from New Jersey. I don't care what someone has to say about a product unless they've paid for it. Paying for it is part of the review. Like, was it worth the money that I worked for? And when I see any beauty brand, it's almost all of the beauty, it's rare to find a beauty brand that operates the same way we do. But when I see anyone that's been gifted product, give a review, it's so obvious. Like, I think it's insulting to the people out there, like to think that consumers can't tell. I mean, have you,
I have never been gifted beauty products. No.
Yep.
Just for the record, I've never been accused of using beauty products either, by the way.
But, you know, like, what is the point of seeing someone's review if they didn't pay for it?
I agree. And even in the tech space, right? You know that somebody was given a phone or a tablet or a whatever it is. You want to make sure that your product is represented by authentic people, and that is your customer base.
Right.
How did you do that? How did you start to grow your customer base? Did it start in your beauty area? Did it grow? I don't even know what I'm talking about.
It started with I shop in a zero waste store. Do you know what that is? Like a refillery is what they're called.
Okay.
So you basically, in a refillery, you bring like your empty container and you can refill laundry detergent. There's places where you can refill spices. You can refill I don't know, pasta, like what, there's a million things that you can refill. And so there's this growing kind of retail channel of people that just, they don't want to buy their garbage anymore. They just want to go in and refill the containers that they already have. There's really no point in buying a whole nother big plastic jug of laundry detergent. You just refill it. And so that's where I shop. And that's where I noticed, like, that's where the grassroots educators in sustainability are. If you want to know what's good in sustainability, you go to a refill store and they will tell you. Like, I vetted every version of, you know, say shampoo bar, and this is the one we stock. And so I really went all around the country talking to refill store owners and their customers. And that's how I built it. It was, there's no secrets. Like, it was, I literally went with a suitcase and was a door-to-door salesperson. When everyone else was going digital, I went analog.
And did you start with one product? Did you come up with two or three things and start to run with it? What was the genesis and what was the growth of that?
So just shampoo and conditioner. And what I learned was, so I watched people buy shampoo and conditioner for years. I would almost like just sit back and see how people purchase at CVS or Walmart or in a salon or in a high-end beauty store like a Sephora. And I just watched the behavior. And what I saw time and time again is people would pick up the bottle, unscrew the top, smell it, and then read it. So they didn't even know what was in it. They just wanted to know the smell before they even engaged with the product. And so what I did was I took shampoo and conditioner. I made them great for all hair types. And then I let people choose the scent. So we're the only line, I think, that does that, to my knowledge. But basically, it's just simple. Like, you just go and smell the one you like.
Now, to fast forward a little bit through the journey here, something happened and business one went away. What was that story?
Yeah. So what happened? I can't go into too many details about it, but basically I had a business partner. You know, I thought I needed a business partner, and we just didn't align on what we wanted the business to be. For me, I really wanted to do it as authentically as possible. I wanted to support small stores. I wanted to, you know, really, really use the company to get people excited about sustainability. That was like that's my lofty pie in the sky goal, is I want people to think sustainability is cool again, instead of having it be met with eye rolls. And, you know, we just didn't align. You know, there's another piece of the beauty industry where people really want, like, the big purchase orders. They want Ulta, they want Sephora, they want these kind of like big things that I just, you know, when you build a company like that, you have to be ready for all of the byproducts of growing, of like hyper growth. And that's not something I was prepared to do or take on as a mom, to be honest.
And so when you're putting all this together, you're juggling, and you know, this is kind of my story too. You're juggling doing your thing. You're juggling being family. You're juggling putting the entrepreneur cap on. You're juggling doing the sales calls. What is that like? I know what that's like for me.
Yeah.
What was that like for you, trying to keep track? And you do feel like a ping pong ball sometimes, just going back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. For me, I have the ability to work on very little sleep. So I would wake up at 4:30 a.m, and then I would do my work before the kids woke up. Then I would slip into mom mode, you know, and take care of the kids, then I get them to school, and then I would be back into work mode while they were gone. And that was, you know, a rinse and repeat every day. And, you know, you can't create more hours in the day unless you take them from somewhere else. And so I had to take them away from sleep. I don't know, how did you do it with your kids?
TeacherCast was born at 1:00 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. And it was July 11th, 2011. I walked downstairs, and within a couple hours, I had the idea. I just couldn't sleep. The idea, the logo, the website, the Twitter, the Facebook, you name it. And I haven't slept since. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Right.
And just like, kind of like, I love having these conversations on this show, because you kind of see yourself sometimes, but you have everything and then it's gone. And then you have everything and then it's gone. And you are then faced with, let's start over. Let's build it up again. Let's do the second hump of this. Like, what was...
Well, it was my unscratchable itch, right? It was my thing. So anyone that hears unscratchable itch, they know what it means. You know what it means. Like, it's the thing that gives you the purpose and gets you to start the most scary adventure of your life. I think being a parent is not as scary as being an entrepreneur. Now having done,
I have triplets.
Well, you have triplets. That's okay. That's a scarier. That's times three. I found that being an entrepreneur and being an entrepreneur in modern day is so, so taxing because there's the expectations are so high. You're pulled in all directions 24 hours a day. And so, you know, you have to really, really love what you're doing. And you have to really, like, I could talk about hair all day, every day. You know, I studied economics. It wasn't like the thing I studied. You have to figure out that thing that you're going to talk about all day, every day, whatever it is. And for me, I learned the hard way that you can't share your passion with someone else. If you're like the person with the itch, the scratchable itch, like it's very hard to transfer passion. It's non-transferable to a partner. Like
one of the things that has come up on this show multiple times over the years is how have you been successful? And you have an amazing story that if I'm correct in this, the answer would be you have an amazing support system at home.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about that support system. I know for myself, this would not be happening without my support system. Absolutely. You also have an amazing support system. Tell us a little bit about how the success of your brand, your business has come because of that support system at home.
Yeah. So no one has success in a vacuum ever. I don't care who you are. You either have your friends, your family, you know, your parents, any of those things. I don't think anyone survives on wits alone. Maybe someone might come at me and say that something else, but like I ran this the first 18 months on my own, but I was able to do that because my kids were in school. I was able to do that because my husband is he's a beauty packaging designer. So we had complementary skill sets and we'd both been in the beauty industry for a long time. So, you know, when we were developing the brand, it was us pulling all-nighters together. It's very rare that, because I can't do everything myself. Like I couldn't also do the graphics and the packaging. Like that's, I had ideas for it, but you know, he couldn't escape me, my husband. He was there 24 hours a day. So we worked through the night, we'd wake up, we'd get this everything done. And I wouldn't have a brand if I didn't have his part of the puzzle. Even though I ran it for the first 18 months solo, like the actual running of the company, the amount of money it would take to get that caliber of branding, I wouldn't have been able to start this, like bootstrap it. I would have had to have taken investment, you know. Same thing if he wanted to start a beauty product, he would have to pay a lot of money to find someone who'd do all the marketing and setup and all of that other stuff. So in a very like kismet style way, we worked well together.
It's amazing how many people on the show I ask that question to, and it's always my other half or my whatever you want to call that, we're opposites. And I go for when, you know, I met my wife because I was a conductor. She's a double bass player. I figured, okay, I'm always going to need a double bass player. It just works, right?
Yeah.
I don't mean it the wrong way, of course, but you've got these sets, they've got these sets, these things happen. And, you know, especially when you're an entrepreneur, are you the Steve Jobs or are you the Wozniak? And you kind of need to have a little bit of both. You can't be everything. You can't always be everything, but an apple has to have, I don't know what else I'm going to say on this one, but like you always have to have something that's complimenting you.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about how did you put all of these things together? There's so many people that are listening to this that are entrepreneurs, business owners, trying to figure out, is it the product? Is it the packaging? Is it the message? Right.
It's all of it.
And when I look at what we do here, is it the blog? Is it the podcast? Is it the thumbnail? Or is it the guest in another way? What is your philosophy on marketing, on putting your amazing looking website together? Your Instagram is very fun and friendly. What are those conversations like? What's that philosophy to actually get it from online packaging, et cetera, to building a community around your brand? Talk to us a little bit about that.
I think how I wanted to do it and how I view everything is, if I was my own customer, how would I respond to this? It has nothing to do with what I want. you know, because you have to constantly take yourself, you know, have an out of body experience with everything that you do and be like, how would I respond to this if this was my first time or my 10th time seeing my company or the 1,000th time? You know, those are things you really have to think, because it's so easy to have a vision and fall and have blinders on and be like, everyone should know the XYZ about my company with every, and every piece of information is snowballed from the last one. And they get, like, the customer has a relationship to the brand. It's not, I don't think it's like that. I think every time you're kind of flipping a coin, hoping people care about the brand. And so even when I named my second brand, even when I named it Dip, people didn't understand the name. It didn't have a personality yet. And I'm sure you can appreciate this. Like, you know, you see Dip just on its own and it's like, oh, you know, what is that? Chewing tobacco? What is, you know, what is it? Is it Surf Wax? What is this thing? And so I always have to, I recommend any entrepreneur to just kind of, you know, pluck themselves out of their own brain and imagine seeing anything for the first time. And if it's not funny and if it doesn't, you know, give someone some sort of education, I don't think it's worth even posting.
And I love the fact that, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I love the fact that when you turn it 180, it still says Dip.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a real fun thing for us. You know, I wanted people to understand that all you need to do is add water. So you could just dip in water. When you have like kids at the pool or when you're, you know, surfing or doing any of those things, you just dip the bar water, run it down your hair and go on with your day.
What lessons have you learned as an entrepreneur?
Man, honestly, the hardest lesson was not to share your dream. That's a big one. Like, don't share it with anyone else. You can also, you know, I thought with my first brand that I really needed someone to do operations because it felt overwhelming to do the marketing and then also like take care of the manufacturing and take care of, you know, all the spreadsheets and all the accounting stuff. But what I learned with my second business is like, I don't have to share the company. I can actually hire someone, a bookkeeper, from day one to take care of that stuff that seems overwhelming. I could hire, you know, the accountant. I can hire, and at the time I had a contract manufacturer and that wasn't very, very difficult. So I think the most important thing is to bank on yourself and keep as few other people involved as possible.
It's interesting hearing you say that, because for the last 14 years, I've been trying to get people to help me with this. And you're always trying to figure out, okay, at what point in time do you give other people?
Yeah.
Some of the things that you have to do when you're doing this by yourself.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've got some stories. I'm not going to go into that. But one of the things that we, you know, one of the terms that we use in the education field is the term teachable moment. Can you think of one?
So I would say the teachable moment for me, and I'll say it's rather recent. So I had a contract manufacturer for the first few years, and then my manufacturer went bankrupt after taking a big purchase order. Like, I paid the deposit and a big purchase order. My teachable moment there, and I had to choose whether I'm going to find another contract manufacturer or I'm going to create my own factory. And it was a very, very scary crossroads because one was easier and one was way, way harder and more expensive. But I did the harder, more expensive path. I now have my own factory and my own team in North Carolina. And the harder path is the more satisfying one. Really think that moment where I could have just found another contract manufacturer, I'd still be at the mercy of other people, you know, and being a small player in a big industry. And now with my own factory, I have like this amazing team and it's now grown into something where like I have a new sense of purpose that I didn't have before. Like now it's like exciting. I can give out bonuses to my employees. I can, you know, I can take them on retreats and do fun stuff. And it no longer feels like I'm just one person at my kitchen table running my brand. Now I have an actual business.
What advice do you have for other entrepreneurs in or around the beauty field that are looking to emulate what you have and they have an idea and they want to start something of their own?
I would honestly say to anyone that there's no shortcuts. Like, I really did travel all over the country. Like, that's not something that a digital ad can do in the same way. I think that really, really be honest with yourself and figure out, is this the kind of business that you want to run? And do you have this perception that it is easy and that it's not going to require you to be doing? Like, the doing is the thing that sets us apart as a brand. We're always out there in like hanging out with customers and making sure that they're happy. And like, I mean, we do lots of activations in that way. But I think a lot of people decide to start a company and they want to be very distanced from their customers. Like, they want to have, like, they want to be CEO, and then they want to have a few like kind of notches between, and they forget that the customers are the only reason that they're able to, you know, feel important.
We started off the conversation here by saying true legacy is built on integrity. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think it means that you treat your customers with the same kind of respect and assumption of intelligence that you treat anyone else that you meet in person. And I think a lot of marketing seems to forget that people are way smarter than marketers give them credit for. Have you ever been in a room where someone says you need to do all of your marketing as if you're talking to a 10-year-old?
I teach middle school. I talk to 10-year-olds. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I've been in many marketing meetings where they're like, no, you have to dumb it down. You have to make it, you know, digestible. Think of the customers, every customer is a 10-year-old. And I don't do that. I treat my customers as if they're kind of my silly, zany friends from New Jersey. And that's why I think that the brand really resonates with people, because they're not used to a brand speaking to them in that way.
The website is dipalready.com. And Kate, we could do this for an hour here. I say this with all the honesty and respect. Please come back on the show. Yeah, would love absolutely to continue this conversation. We didn't even talk about our favorite, you know, Soprano or, you know, all of those things. But I do want to end this kind of on a quirky note here. And just because we're recording this, so I have to ask the silly question. Springsteen or Bon Jovi?
Oh man, Bon Jovi all the way.
Okay. Then definitely please come back on.
Thank God it chose
please correctly. Come back on the show. Kate, thank you so much for your time today. I love talking about this thing. Again, the website is dipalready.com. I'll give you the last word here. Look into the camera. What advice do you have? What would you like to say to anybody that's checking out this episode, trying to figure out what this entrepreneurial game is, or how just to make it as a parent, entrepreneur, etc.? Camera's yours.
I would say to especially someone who's a parent, your alarm clock is your best friend. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Don't expect to get everything done during the day. You're going to have to, not always, but just, and I'd say that first 18 months to 2 years, like, you, it's going to be like having a new infant, and you're going to have to wake up 4 or 5 in the morning or stay up super late, whichever one works for you, and just get it done.
I echo that. I agree with that. I live that some weeks, and looking forward to living it again once the school year starts up. Kate, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Please don't let this be the last time. I really appreciate having you on today.
Jeff, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your audience with me. It's really been fun.
This podcast is all about bringing amazing guests on, showing off how they're making their impact on this world, and Kate is certainly one of those people that is doing that each and every day. Hope you guys have a chance to check out her website over at dipalready.com. For more information, you can find all of the notes and the links over in our show notes. This is the Jeff Bradbury Show, episode number 74. And if you'd like to be on this show as somebody who's making an impact, or if you know somebody out there making an impact, please feel free to reach out to us over at jeffbradbury.com. Would love to have you guys on the show and have you guys show off how you guys are making your impact. So that wraps up this episode of the Jeff Bradbury Show. On behalf of Kate and everybody here, my name is Jeff Bradbury. Remember to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.